Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host, like last week, Brian Johnson. Welcome back.
What's up, Charch? I should just get my name in the intro at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Like every offseason, we're supposed to be a nice rotation.
What happened to the rotation?
What just happened to these guys in general?
Matt did one of our offseason ones, but like you've done all of the rest of them. No Fish, no Christian Peterson. That's okay. We'll,
Scott Fish, hot off the heels of like the Humanitarian of the Year award. And here I am. You're talking to me. I don't know. Fish should be here, but I think he signed up for
you're
next
barely
week
a human, let alone Humanitarian of the Year.
I'll take that as a compliment, like I'm a machine. But I know that's not what you meant.
Tip of the cap to Scott Fish for the award.
Yes.
The Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association awards the Humanitarian of the Year within the industry, somebody who's done good for others. And Scott Fish was the recipient. He's raised over $100,000 over the course of Fantasy Cares. Works out of our office here, and many of our listeners are familiar with Scott and his contributions to this show. So a tip of the hat to Scott. And before we break down the AFC and NFC championship games, how about the real-life sabotage drop the Cowboys performed on the Giants here?
It's a very savvy move from a very unsavvy franchise.
Isn't it? Jason Garrett interviewing to be the offensive coordinator of the Giants.
Well, you know, I'm emotionally detached. I had enough of Gettleman last year. Draft day was, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. But this accelerates. I'm going to go back to being a Giants fan as soon as they can, Gettleman. This can only accelerate that process in my mind.
Was he wrong? We all thought he was wrong. Well, many thought he was wrong about Daniel Jones. Was he?
No, again, probably not. He looks like a good player. I still think he could have traded down to get Dan Jones. I'm a firm believer of that, and there were many egregious moves before the Daniel Jones.
Okay, wait, I'm going to give you another one.
Okay.
When he traded Snacks Harrison, I thought he was insane because he was trading one of the best run stuffers in the NFL, and the Lions got him, and they went from being like last in the league against the run to like top five. But Snacks is talking about retirement right now. He's talking about hanging it up. I'll give you a third. Odell Beckham. Who the hell wants Odell Beckham anymore? You know, the Browns may very well cut him outright.
They gave him a lot of guaranteed money, though, which made no sense. The Giants. They signed him to an extension and then traded
him. That is true.
Don't know what you're doing at that point.
That is true. But they got out of Beckham as the insanity was beginning. So, you know, I think in the moment, a lot of these Gettleman moves have been worse than they've actually worked out to be.
The return was always light, though, in all these instances, I think.
Yeah,
even though they've turned out to be good moves, they still could have
maximize them for more.
But we shall see how Jason Garrett, you know, he has ties. He's from New Jersey. Like he was a Parcells guy way back in the day. So he was eventually going to work for this team. He's worked for Dallas a little too long probably, but yeah, well, that division though, it's disgusting. The NFC East.
I know that's bad. Well, it is this year, but by next year, who knows? You could have a 13 game winner come out of that division.
Philly better just dominate that for the next.
Yeah, you would think so. If they stay healthy, you think they're the best team, and Dallas should be in that conversation as well. We'll find out. Let's break down the AFC and NFC championship games, Brian, beginning with Tennessee taking on Kansas City. They're 7.5 point favorites. These teams met in week 10. Tennessee won that game and put up 35 points. But I'll note that was the first game back for Patrick Mahomes off that gruesome knee injury. And Mahomes wasn't quite himself, although Kansas City still scored 32 points and lost in that game.
Yeah,
and Mahomes threw for four touchdowns.
Yeah, 446 yards.
Yeah, so, you can't really point at Mahomes and go, well, you know, he came out rusty and that's why they lost.
Yeah, so the victors of both games last week, the Titans and the Chiefs, very bizarre games, both of them.
Oh, God.
So it's tough to glean a lot. Yeah. So, like, I don't. We'll mention this week 10 matchup a lot between Tennessee and Kansas City as we go through this. Let's start with King Henry, Derrick Henry. He had 23 carries for 188 and 2 on the ground in that game. And, you know, Kansas City, you run against Kansas City. You don't throw against Kansas City. Unlike years past, the path of least resistance was through the air. It's not that way this year. Kansas City is ranked 29th against the run by Football Outsiders DVOA. They've allowed the fourth highest yards per carry this season. Houston backs it into a whole lot.
All right, but hold on. Kansas City's run defense improved a lot down the stretch. Over the last four games, they're giving up 3.9 yards per carry and half a touchdown per game on the ground. That's it. And this is an improved run defense from the version that's skewing season-long stats because they were so bad in the first half of the season against the run. They have gotten a lot better.
That is true. That is true. I want to go back to Henry really quick. By the way, his last eight games, including the playoffs.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Over 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns in his last eight games. It's the all-time record for most rushing yards in any eight-game stretch in NFL history.
His average game since week 10, which is probably the eight games. Average game, 25 carries. That's a one-game season high for most backs in this league. That's his average game. 169 rushing yards and 1.4 touchdowns. 6.3 yards per carry. They're all mind-boggling over such a big stretch of games. It sounds like any one back's best game of the year, and it's Derrick Henry's average game.
I know. He's running very motivated, going into unrestricted free agency.
Yes, he is.
Circling back real quick, how Kansas City is tough on paper right now against running backs, but starting in week 14, Patriots, no run game. No running back had more than 7 carries. Denver, 13 total carries, it looks like, then Chicago. So not the greatest of competition for
that's
the Chiefs.
Fair.
But,
that's fair.
But, you know, they're going to ride Henry into the sunset, ride or die, whatever, you know, plenty you want to throw out there. I will mention the Colts and Titans are the only teams who allow more receptions to opposing running backs than the Chiefs.
Well, that's not Henry's game.
So I will mention Deion Lewis one more time. No touches last week. He did not need to touch the ball.
Well, no, they got ahead and they stayed ahead.
We expected Baltimore to get ahead and stay ahead.
Yeah, we did.
So certainly the Chiefs have that potential, which might bring Deion Lewis into play, which, you know, makes him a cheap DFS dart. But
by the way, your DFS darts last week, I think, paid off. We love Damian Williams. Yeah, that paid off. You like Darren Fells. That paid off.
He should have had like three more catches, too.
He had two drops. And there was another tight end you liked. Oh, it was Hollister. He didn't do as much.
He didn't do so well. Right. No, he did not. But yeah, let's talk about the Tennessee tight ends who led the team in receptions in that Week 10 game. They had 7 catches, Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser. No other Titans receiver had more than one.
Well, they only completed like 11 passes in the game.
So in that game, Jonnu Smith and Firkser combined for 7 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. Firkser had the touchdown. Jonnu Smith, when he sees the ball, which he doesn't see it enough. Listen to these numbers. Yards per target, 10. That's number 2.
Among tight ends?
Among 41 qualified tight ends. And yards after the catch per reception, 7.8. That's second as well. Okay. But he just doesn't see the ball enough.
Are the guy who was mocking me one show ago for my love of Jonnu Smith.
I wasn't mocking you.
Yes, you mocked. You absolutely mocked.
I would have to check the tape. He wasn't used as a receiver at all in the wild card game.
Okay.
So it was it was Firkser was the guy.
Now maybe it was Matt. Maybe it was Matt who did the mocking.
I like Jonnu Smith.
Okay, I do too.
So the Chiefs last week, as you mentioned, Fells had the touchdown and so continued through the playoffs. They've been giving up to tight ends all year. The surrendered the second most catches to tight ends Kansas City has, third most red zone targets to the position. So I'm liking Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser is the two best receivers on the team going into this game.
Yeah.
And I saw the odds for Firkser to score the first touchdown is like 50-1. And then at any point in the game, it was like 20-1.
Wow.
I like Jonnu Smith's chances better. His odds aren't as good, but Firkser's are way up there. But
What do you think of AJ Brown in this one? You know, there's not even another receiver worth mentioning in this game other than Brown. I know he runs the majority of his routes on the left, which puts him on Breshad Breeland, which is he's probably the worst of the cornerbacks they've got, although he's not bad, but he's probably the worst of the ones they've got.
Yeah, it's another tough matchup, and Brown has struggled in tough matchups starting in Week 15. It was New Orleans, New England, Baltimore.
Right.
He's had like one catch in each of those games, and this matchup is arguably almost as bad as all of those. So I'm not loving A.J. Brown. He's a contrarian play at this point. Again,
see, I kind of like him as a contrarian play.
I almost like Corey Davis more.
Do you really?
Yeah, just because he's cheaper. Called the birthday touchdown, by the way.
Nicely done. But here's the thing. A.J. Brown's good.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, so, I mean, if you think Tennessee's going to be competitive, if you think they're going to be passing more to stay in the game, which I do, I like A.J. Brown.
I think they would make an effort to put a Dory Jackson on AJ Brown, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't like either of them, to put it that way. I mean, I like the tight ends and Derrick Henry. And lastly, Ryan Tannehill. Had 181 and two passing and three rushes for 37 yards in that Week 10 game. And I'm mentioning the rushing yards because I'm loving the prop bet on his rushing yards at 15.5 is the over-under.
Really?
37 Tannehill had in that Week 10 game. Now, here are some other quarterbacks rushing totals against the Chiefs this year. Give me 1 second. Derek Carr, 18 yards. That's more than 15.5. Lamar Jackson, 46, of course. Matthew Stafford, 18 yards. Deshaun Watson, 42 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 29 yards. Tannehill, again, 37. Tom Brady, 20 yards.
Wow.
Hammer the over on the Ryan Tannehill rushing prop.
All right. That's all I'm gonna say. Okay, good. Yeah, he's more fleet of foot than people realize. Yeah,
again, a converted wide receiver. Only played a year and a half of quarterback at Oklahoma. I can't remember. He went to a big-time school, too. But anyway, unlike years past, so again, Kansas City, very tough secondary. They did lose starting free safety. I'm blanking on his name. It's definitely not Honey Badger. He will play.
And he's been great.
He's been great. Kansas, their best rusher, Chris Jones, who led the team in sacks for the Chiefs, missed last week. Status still very up in the air for this one. So that would bode well for Tannehill. But again, it's just all about Derrick Henry in this game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kansas City real quick. So
I can't do Kansas City quickly because there's so many guys to talk about.
I feel like we're running long on this one, but we only got two games to talk about.
Who cares? We'll kick back.
So Baltimore had basically 8 scoring opportunities last week. They had drives that finished on Tennessee's 36, 31, 4-yard line, 18-yard line, 31, 15, 16, and 21-yard line.
And they lost.
And finished with 12 points.
Dang, that's so crazy.
It's not like the Titans were shutting down Baltimore. They just couldn't execute in scoring range. And I like the Chiefs' chances to execute in scoring range in this one. We mentioned Mahomes had 446 and 3 in that first game. The Titans have surrendered multiple passing scores in 11 of 17 regular season games. If you're throwing one lineup in any kind of contest, you got to have Mahomes in it.
I think you do, too. Can I just mention this about Mahomes? You know, for as much as he's already accomplished, Brian, you know, one thing he hadn't faced yet was a huge deficit in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't faze him at all. Unflappable. Yep. And there are a lot of young quarterbacks, and he's still, we forget, you know, he's still a very young quarterback. He did not even faze him in the slightest. There are a lot of guys that might have just gone belly up in that moment and not Patrick. Oh, yeah,
he rose to the occasion so big time. That, I don't know if it was the first or the second touchdown. It was still on the comeback. Like, he completed the comeback in the second quarter, by the way.
Yeah,
They compared the greatest comebacks of all time. Those were, like, whole games. He did it in the quarter. So, but when he dragged his foot, when like everyone thought he was over the line of scrimmage.
How about the presence of mind to drag the foot. That was brilliant.
Oh, man.
So they're down 24-0, and I nudged my wife, and I was, at that point, I was leaving for Vegas the next day, and I said to her, oh, man, I'd still, even down 24-0, I think I'd be betting them to win right now.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, that doesn't seem like a very good, you know, that doesn't seem very likely. 24-0, nobody, you know, I'm like, yeah, nobody ever comes back from 24-0. But if any team can, it'd be that one. And then they did it at half.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, here I was trying to be, you know, contrarian guy, and they've made it look easy. Crazy.
Yeah, we need to legalize gambling in Minnesota so we can make those bets, because I had the same thought as well. I was like, no better money on a live bet for, at the time it didn't seem like good, but it was very plausible and it came through.
In the earlier matchup with Tennessee, Mahomes threw 50 passes, 5-0. Man, if he gets anything close to 50, yeah, it's going to be explosive output for him. What do you think? Go ahead.
I'll say 19 of those passes went to Tyreek Hill.
Yes, that's where I was going to go to.
11 catches for 157 and 1 for Tyreek.
19 targets for Tyreek Hill the first game.
And by the way, you think that you hear the Chiefs. So if I told you the Chiefs are to come back from 24-0, score 51 points, but Tyreek Hill is going to have 45 scoreless yards.
Yeah, right.
No one's going to believe that. So
no.
He's probably going to get his in this one. Again, it was a weird game for Baltimore and Tennessee last week. Baltimore kind of in comeback mode. But Ravens wideouts had 18 catches in that game. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to like Tyreek Hill.
A lot. You think Sammy Watkins goes back-to-back here?
Back-to-back? Doing something?
Yeah, because he had a good game last week.
It was decent. He didn't score, right?
I don't think he did score. Yeah, but he had
50, 60 combo yards, which is sadly a good game for Watkins.
That really is.
He had 5 for 39 on 9 targets in that Week 10 matchup. He had 2 rushes for 12 yards as well. I like Mecole Hardman the most outside of Tyreek Hill. Only 17% of the snaps last week. DeMarcus Robinson.
Which is weird.
Saw 58%.
Robinson's bad. All the drops last week? Holy cow.
And Hardman had four targets in those 17.
Yeah, that's a high percentage.
Very high percentage. So get him on the field more. He had one catch for 63 yards and a touchdown in that Tennessee game. So give him four or five targets, see what he can do.
Now, Kelsey's obvious, right? He went seven targets, seven catches, 75 yards and a touchdown in the earlier meeting. Tennessee rocked by tight ends in December, although they did hold Mark Andrews in check last week.
Well, Andrews got hurt. He and Hayden Hurst combined for 892 and one.
Yeah,
so, and then even Ben Watson had 3 for 38, which if you, that's like
for him, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's like 180 yards. And yeah. Real quick, Kelsey now tight end one in PPR over the last 4 years. Also a top 10 wide receiver in PPR scoring in those 4 years.
So, I'd still take Kittle ahead of him next year.
Yeah, I would. Definitely in like a Dynasty Empire format, of course. But
sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. Yeah, Ertz is falling out of favor in that argument. And you mentioned Tennessee getting shredded by tight ends over their last seven regular season games. They allowed five tight end touchdowns, four top 70 yards. So
let's talk Damian Williams.
Yep, lastly.
I was in Las Vegas last week for the Fantasy Sports Trade Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association conference. And I placed a sizable wager on Damian Williams. And I'm not going to say which way I went until after you're done, and we'll see if our thinking lines up on this.
I'm going to guess you took the under on rushing yards because only three running backs have. So Williams had 19 carries for 77 yards rushing, five catches for 32 yards in that week 10 matchup. Only three running backs have topped 90 rushing yards against Tennessee all year. Christian McCaffrey, Carlos Hyde, Leonard Fournette. And it was not Carlos Hyde last week. That was in the regular season. And they all needed 24 carries to get there. Baltimore running backs combined for 42 rushing yards on just nine carries last week against Tennessee. It's a tough matchup on the ground. Not through the air, though. Only the Colts have allowed more catches to opposing running backs than the Titans. So I like Williams a lot more through the air in this one. I don't think he's going to put up numbers quite like last week or in previous weeks more recently. But again, he should be the only running back getting touches for this team.
That's the part I like. Nobody else touches the ball. And I think the Chiefs are going to get up early and they're going to run a lot more than we've seen. Tennessee just doesn't, you know, because they've been winning so many of their games, they haven't had to sweat a lot of big volume runners. I think a big volume game's coming from Damian Williams. And the line was lower than most people would probably guess on Damian Williams.
For rushing yards?
For rushing yards, 57.
Oh, I would take that over then.
I was thinking you were thinking 90 or something.
I was
something.
Thinking like 75, right. 80 maybe.
57 isn't much.
No.
So, you know, if Sony Michel in a loss can get to 61 yards, Damian Williams in a win is going to get over 57.
And you parlay that with the Ryan Tannehill over 15 and a half.
that would be the angle.
And there's no weather concerns in this one either. It's going to be like 25 and sunny, not too windy, so 52 point over under. I would take the over probably. You would hope we see over 52 points in this game, but it should be a fun one.
When we come back, Green Bay taking on San Francisco. We'll break it down fantasy style for you in just a moment. Welcome back. Paul Giorgi and Brian Johnson with you. Green Bay taking on San Francisco in San Francisco. These teams met in week 12. It was a one-sided affair. 37-8. In favor of San Francisco. Now,
was it in San Fran?
It was, it was in Green Bay. I think it happened in Lambeau, if memory serves. And it wasn't maybe quite as lopsided as the score suggests, but it was pretty darn lopsided. Let's break down the Green Bay side of this, where Aaron Rodgers, as I feel like I've been saying every week for, I don't know, since Halloween, man, the numbers just aren't there. He's been under 243 yards in eight of the last nine games. 243 is nothing. Get this. He had a blow-up game against the Giants. If I take that game out, the Giants' terrible secondary. If I take that game out, Rodgers' average game in the second half of the season and playoffs, 209 yards and a touchdown.
So it is that game was in San Fran.
It was. Thank you very much.
And the over under, you're going to barf with excitement, maybe, but you're not going to believe 239.5 for over under on passing yards for Aaron Rodgers.
It's come to this. Aaron Rodgers say 239. Well, it is high. Honestly, I bet at least in the second half of the season, he's only got a couple of games higher than 239. That's probably it. Now in Aaron Rodgers' favor. He's only thrown one interception in the second half of the season. I mean, that's mostly what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table right now, is he doesn't make mistakes. But that's about all he brings to the table. The San Francisco pass defense is so good. They get the ferocious pass rush. They get Nick Bosa, D Ford, DeForest Buckner, all fantastic pass rushers. And over the across the entire league, Pro Football Focus ranks their pass rush as third best. Now, in fairness, the Green Bay offensive line is great. It's always great, and they will provide some time for Aaron Rodgers, but it mostly on the balance of it, it hasn't mattered a lot.
I'm guessing Brian Bulaga is good to go, because that was like the
flu.
I believe he will play.
He's late expected scratch. To play in this. Cornerback Akello Witherspoon got benched last week. He will probably not go. His replacement, Emmanuel Mosley, gave up only 3 catches for 24 yards against the Vikings. So Emmanuel Mosley expected to start there. So then the question is, what do you do with the Devontae Adams, right? Most of the other receivers don't even matter. So do you put Adams on Richard Sherman's side of the field where he gets erased? Probably. And try to make hay with your other guys. Or do you put Devontae Adams on the left side of the field away from Richard Sherman, knowing that they'll just roll extra coverage to that side, and you're not throwing to Richard Sherman's side anyway. And now you got a huge problem potentially on both sides of the field. And that's the conundrum that they give you with Sherman being so good on
one
side.
Just put him right up against Sherman.
Mano
a mano, one on one.
And then if you do that, it gives you the ability to heave a few passes on the left side, a little bit like the Diggs touchdown last week, probably to Alan Lazard, mm-hmm. would be your most likely candidate to pull something in.
You know who it almost would be? The likely candidate would be Geronimo Allison, if not for his birthday being on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Oh, a huge mistake.
You don't like the pre-day. You don't like the birthday the day before. That's
the hangover.
Trouble, yeah.
That's the hangover
you want
the next day.
Of.
No, absolutely
so,
not.
Yeah. Avoid Geronimo at all costs.
All right, let's talk about the running game for the Packers. Last week, Dalvin Cook ran for 2 yards per carry. That's it. Aaron Jones is more of a threat to San Francisco I think the Niners are going to play to shut down Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones is a bigger threat than Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers doesn't worry me if I'm the Niners. I don't want Aaron Jones beating, because he's winning games. They're winning games on Aaron Jones, not Aaron Rodgers. I think they're going to play to shut down Aaron Jones, much like they did to Dalvin Cook. And I mentioned this last week. Let me mention it again, because it was super relevant last week. San Francisco is awesome against pass receiving backs.
Yeah.
They held Dalvin Cook, I believe, to 8 catches for 9 yards through the air.
A lot of them were negative yards. It felt like, what was the long was probably like 3 yards.
Something
maybe
like that. San Francisco's allowed the third fewest running back receptions, the second fewest running back receiving yards, and they didn't give up a single touchdown through the air to a running back.
Yeah, it became quite evident to you, me, anyone, like, stop throwing screen passes.
Yes.
It's not working.
Although some of that was Kirk checking down, for sure.
Yeah, he didn't have much time.
But still, I'm nervous about Aaron Jones here, because I really believe that's going to be the foremost element that the Niners will take away.
64.5 is the over-under on rushing yards for Jones. Let's see receiving. That's not as easy to find. That's not very good UX, but anyway, that seems high.
All right. Let's go to the passing game for the Niners. Garoppolo barely used last week. He only threw 19 passes in the game because he didn't have to. I think they ran 50 times. Green Bay's pass defense has been really good. They've allowed 0 or 1 touchdown in 6 straight games. In the second half of the season, they've allowed less than 1 touchdown pass per game. Debo Samuel runs almost half his plays from Emmanuel Mosley's side of the field, so he'll avoid Richard Sherman mostly. I got the teams backwards on that. Sorry. Blah, 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 blah. That's as if Debo Samuel is running on his own team. Debo Samuel runs most of his plays on the left side of the field. That's Kevin King's side predominantly.
You're
and
talking
that's
about
the
practice.
Better angle.
You're
yeah,
talking
practice,
about practice.
That's right, practice. And so that's your angle for Debo Samuel, is that he gets the worst cornerback available. So that might work out. Emmanuel Sanders will plays a lot of the slot. He plays the right side of the field. Those are worse matchups predominantly. Tremont Williams has been shocking in his 84th year of service in the slot. And J.R. Alexander has really come along nicely. I'm less optimistic about Emmanuel Sanders here. Kendrick Bourne scored last week. Could be a wild card, but he's I think that's all he is a wild card, and I don't love chasing last week's box
score. Yeah, he'll be a popular, chalky, cheap option because of last week.
Because results. Of last week. He runs predominantly from the slot as well. And again, I don't love the slot matchups here. Kyle Juszczyk, I know some people tried him as a minimum salary
punt play
attempt. Yep. Did not work out at all last week because the Niners got up so by so much they didn't have to throw to him, and that's where his value comes in. What do you think about Juszczyk as a potential DFS minimum salary guy?
Yeah, I'd go to Anthony Firkser instead.
Okay.
Because you don't want to – don't get cute at running back in any even regular season, postseason DFS contest. I always pay up for running backs because you want the guaranteed touches, bell cow, whatever you want to say. But, yeah, in the flex – I'd punt with Berkser this week.
Okay. Let's
do that.
They got to stop George Kittle, which is a problem. He's laboring with a bit of an ankle issue, but it shouldn't be an issue here. Kittle roasted the Packers in the first meeting. 6 targets, 6 catches, 129 yards, and a touchdown. And the Packers have faced 4 really good tight ends this year, with Kittle being one of them. Also, Zach Ertz, Darren Waller, and Travis Kelce. They all posted very strong fantasy games.
Yeah. And we liked Hollister last week. He didn't come through, but on paper, it's quite obvious you like tight ends against the Packers.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Especially ones like George Kittle.
And Hollister didn't do nothing. He had at least a handful of catches. Let's talk about the San Francisco running game against Green Bay. This is a team that loves to run the ball. If they get ahead and they're favored by 7.5, just like last week, that's an opportunity to run the ball.
So did you hear that it came out late that Mostert was hurt?
It was hurt. Yeah, we didn't know that.
Hurt or sick.
It was hurt. And he's practicing now. And so a lot of us thought Mostert was going to be the guy.
So it's Matt Breida week then.
Well, no, maybe. Because actually Coleman's a little dinged up now too.
Oh, boy.
So it might be. I think this might be one to just avoid. Mm-hmm. Prior to Tevin Coleman's 105 yards last week, no Niners back had topped 69 yards in 4 games. Only one 100-yard game had been posted since week 8. So, yeah, I just don't think there's an angle with any of these runners that I feel great about.
Well, if Coleman is truly dinged, that's very interesting. This one book, I'm not going to give it free advertising, but Mostert's over-under on rushing yards is 45.5, and Coleman's is 44.5.
Wow.
So,
well, Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson. I'd go back to Aaron Jones very quickly. 2.5 receptions is his over-under. That seems pretty low.
That's low, but again, the Niners are awesome against that. But look, the Vikings completed 8 or 9 to Dalvin Cook. They just didn't go anywhere. And then maybe the Packers are going to look at that and go, well, we're not even going to pass.
They put the necessary pressure to, like you said, force you to check down a lot. So I would hammer that over, I feel.
Could be. What else do you want to say about the running game here? Only Christian McCaffrey's topped 100 yards against Green Bay in the second half of the season, but they're giving up 4.5 yards per carry in the second half of the season. That could get you to a big game. I don't think holding Marshawn Lynch like Green Bay did to 2 yards per carry means anything. Marshawn Lynch is completely and utterly cooked.
Yeah.
Just nothing left there, I don't think. So just from as a side note, as we've done the fantasy breakdown on this. 7.5. Both games are roughly 7.5 points. Are you laying the 7.5?
No, I'm not. I think the favorites finally play like the favorites in this one, especially San Francisco. I don't see Green Bay putting up much, doing much better than the Vikings did last week. I don't know. Maybe a little bit better, but Tennessee, who knows? They're running hot. But man, Kansas City.
You feel like it's got to come to an end somewhere.
If I had to pick one to lay the points, it would be the Chiefs. I mean, I would take the points with the Titans, especially with the hook at 7.5. But
yeah, that half makes it awfully tricky, doesn't it?
When it comes to daily, this is probably even though it's only 4 games, but outside of the quarterbacks on Fanball, you can play 2 super flex. But the tight ends, Kelce and Kittle, they're the primo plays over all the running backs, even Derrick Henry. I'd rather if I had to pick 2.
Would you play
Kelce Kittle.
In Fanball Superflex, would you play, well, you don't even have to be Superflex for the 2 tight ends. Would you prioritize a 2 tight end lineup?
Oh, yeah. I think Kelce Kittle might be the highest scoring skill position players this week, especially in PPR. And that includes Derrick Henry and Davante Adams, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Could be. Thanks, Brian. Great job.
Yeah,
clocking in at almost exactly 30 minutes for this podcast. We managed to talk about 2 games for 30 minutes. Dear Lord. Congratulations for those of you that got to the end of the podcast. We love that. Thank you for listening throughout the whole thing. We encourage you to go to fanball.com, play some salary cap this weekend. Still, it's to me, it's a lot more fun with two games than it is with one game. Mm-hmm. But we will break down the Super Bowl beginning next week as well. Talk to you in a week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.